Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we look at the opening prayer, and I want to read that because we want to put this in context. Prepare our hearts, we pray, O Lord our God, by your divine power. Prepare our hearts, we pray, O Lord our God, by your divine power, so that at the coming of Christ your Son, we may be found worthy of the banquet of eternal life and merit to receive heavenly nourishment from his hands, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, those aren't idle words or just pious words or holy words. They're words leading us to closer union with Christ right now in our lives. Right now. Don't put it off because you know not the day nor the hour. And that's really true. None of us does. So let's take a look at the reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 to 10a. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy rich food and pure choice wines. I don't know about you, but I could kind of lick my lips at this point. You know, it gets very enticing. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day, it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we looked to save us." Do you look to the Lord to save you? This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us be glad and rejoice that he has saved us. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. The Lord's here. The Lord is with us. The Lord loves us. The Lord is saying to us again and again, "Come to me. Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." Please, brothers and sisters, turn to him. In the current challenges that we're having, but always turn to him. Walk with him. I beg you to do that. And I do mean that verb. I beg you to do it. Because you and I can get so busy and so tangled up with everything around us that we forget. And I want you to make turning to the Lord every day, especially at the beginning of the day. No matter how busy you are, give the Lord at least 5 minutes if you have to run to work early. But give it to him, and while you're driving to work, take time to pray a decade of the rosary, to thank him. Whatever way you can find that works for you, please do it. The Lord wants us to be in touch with him. He wants us. Psalm 23 tells us, "I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Listen to that. I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We're going to live for eternity, you know. Where are we going to go? Heaven, purgatory, hell? You have a right to make decisions now, and you need to make them because you know what happens with life. It just gets busier and busier and busier. You've got to take time for yourself to pray. I know couples will take that kind of time. By one time, it'll be the mother and the husband's praying, and the reverse can be that it's time for the wife to pray and the husband serves, especially when there are small children. just even for 15 minutes. Take time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, but we need to turn to him for that. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. With your rod and your staff that give me courage, you spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. Brothers and sisters, make that psalm your own. Psalm 23 is one of the most beautiful psalms, and it can really encourage you. I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life right now, and I shall live forever in his house. If I follow him, may I do so. He guides, he leads, he tries to help, and we're just so busy with ourselves, we don't think how near the Lord is to us. And I don't mean you're going to hear voices. Things will happen. Things will happen that will cause you to slow down for a few minutes and you're frustrated because you have to run. But maybe it's the Lord slowing you down for a minute just so he can tell you how much he loves you and waits for you. Think about that. The Lord comes to save his people, and blessed are those people who are prepared to meet him. Think of that. Blessed are we if we are prepared to meet him. That's what we want. I do. I'm counting on the fact that you do. The Lord really does want to help you. The next time that I get one of those little messages, in a sense, from God, I don't mean he talks to me, but a message that turns me in a different direction, I'll share it with you so you get an idea of how he comes. But he does. No, I'm not crazy. Let's take a look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 29 to 37. At that time, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. So Jesus right there, there were great crowds there. Jesus summoned his disciples and he said to them, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for fear they may collapse on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and just a few fish." And he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish. He lifted them up before the Lord. He gave thanks. He broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. Now look at this last sentence. They all ate. They all ate. We're not talking a few people. We're talking a crowd. We're talking probably over 1,000 or more. They all ate at once and were satisfied. and they picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets full. Think about that. Think about that. They had nothing. And there were so many people, it says, great crowds came to him, having with them the blind, the lame, the deformed, the mute. And they brought them to him, and he cured them. But then the Lord said, my heart is moved with pity for this crowd. They've been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. They were probably so extraordinarily happy by the miracles that God had worked already. But Jesus was concerned about their hunger. 3 days. And he said, the disciples said, well, we're in this wilderness. Could we ever get food that would satisfy them? And Jesus told the crowd to sit down. And then he had 7 loaves, and he had a couple of fish. Now we're talking about thousands of people. He took the 7 loaves and the fish. He gave thanks. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments then. And there were 7 baskets full of fragments. They had more food than they absolutely needed. That's God, brothers and sisters, for those who believe in him. I don't mean he's going to work miracles in our lives right now, although you never know. You never know. But we're in a far better place than people were in his day, really, in terms of money, in terms of goods, in terms of food, even a place to sleep. And God provided for them. Oh, brothers and sisters, when I think about that kind of generosity, I mean, he already healed them. Wasn't that enough? They saw his generosity. They saw his kindness. They saw his mercy. Brothers and sisters, do we read the scriptures and pay attention to how kind God is? At times when he needed to be, how strict he was. But there were so many ways in which he served us for years and died a death that's unbelievable. Can we not turn around sometimes and look out and say, I've told you this before, but I want you to get a habit of looking around, and if you see someone hungry or someone in need, what can you do? Either you or you get someone else who will help them because you have some important meeting to go to. Even then, brothers and sisters, if you possibly can, help them.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.